Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
I have to correct you on social media now. I have to actually take to Twitter and defend the honor of the Browns.
You've got to do it, because someone's got to do it.
Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. We're brought to you by Extend Technologies in Broadview Heights. Go ahead, Tone.
So it is obviously draft night, but some NFL news coming in towards the end of the show. Breaking news that the Browns will have 8 open free practices in Berea to the public for fans to be able to enjoy seeing some of their favorite Browns players and zip line and adopt dogs and sweat it out under the heat and humidity of Berea in the fall.
And watch maybe some fringe players flip off the fans.
That's never happened.
Chad Brown.
Wait, excuse me?
The producer guy.
Chad
the
Thomas.
Music
Chad
guy?
Thomas. Wait Chad Thomas. Chad Brown played for the, Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, they're
the, no, because you always get emails about his from his representative sending for him to come on. That's why you thought of Chad Brown.
Why did he flip off the fans? This is a family oriented thing.
No, it was a big deal because Freddie made him run laps.
Yeah.
And someone's like, get the lid out, and he gave him the finger. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it's not a good sign if you can't take the the gentle ribbing coming from the fans.
Most fans don't understand that the lead actually escapes the body through the middle finger.
It's a good way to get rid of it.
True. But a lot of people actually thought it was like funny.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody at the Browns, like, you can't flick off our fans. Knock that off.
So when I was younger, I remember when I was home from college, and my buddy Dan Sapinero was like, hey, got some tickets. It was me. His cousin Mike Sapp.
Spicy Sapinero.
Spicy Sapinero. They named a taco after him for a period of time.
And then they took it away.
Then they took it away. We all went down to Berea. I wasn't working at the station now.
No, don't say it. I don't know what you're going to say.
I was under the influence of something.
Okay, well, so, we don't even have the dump set up, so don't even do it.
So anyway, we had one of the best times ever.
Oh,
we couldn't stop laughing. We sat in the car, and we laughed for 30 minutes, and we're like, do we want to go see this practice? I don't really want to go.
How old were you?
I was 21, 22. Went into there, and we whooped it up. I mean, we had the whole crowd chanting. I was running up and down.
Spicy Sapinero was?
Oh, we all were. We were so excited to see our team. God, what team was that? It was 2000, had to be 2003 or 2004. So this was Butch Davis.
I was in high school.
They had just made the playoffs. So, yeah, it was an exciting time to be a Browns fan. Kelly Holcomb was the quarterback. That's right. Kelly Holcomb was going to start the season, or it was going to be a competition with him and Tim Couch. And we were excited. It was a lot of fun. And now I'm older. Plus, I do this for a living. So how is training camp ever going to measure up to...
Is that a question tomorrow? Do you actually like training camp?
Yeah, just going to a game. I know it's the first chance you get, so that's a big part of it, and I understand that. People have made it a tradition over years.
Double A, text it to the group.
Yeah. But I've been
see it in 2 minutes.
For me, kind of ruining it is part of the issue is, okay, I'm working. Well, what is work? Well, we have to hang around practice, wait on their time. Finally, they let us get the interview, or then they say they don't give you the guy they wanted to give you, and then you don't get the guy, and you got to wait around a long time. They interview the guy, and sometimes it's good, and then you get excited, and you're like, all right, that wasn't a waste of time. Sometimes it's bad, just because not every player is always going to be happy to do a radio interview right after practice, after they've had to put their body out there, and I know they don't have two-a-days anymore, but they still can be strenuous and grueling, and you got to set the tone. Jim Schwartz is going to set the tone this year, right, Kenny? Like, this is not going to be a camp cupcake.
We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
Get ready for an F word.
I'm not doing this.
Get ready for what?
I'm not comparing Jim Schwartz to Greg Williams.
Whatever. But you know what I mean. Like, this is not fun for a lot of players. They all can't be Myles Garrett. They all can't be Joe Thomas. I'm sure Joe Thomas's experience at training camp 8 years in, very different from what these guys who are rookies, second-year player, third-year players, it's going to suck.
Very true.
And so in turn, when they don't do very much in the way of, all right, 11 on 11, let's go. When you get excited, that one part of practice, and everyone gets on their feet, and they're like, oh my God, this looks like football.
Yeah.
The rest of it does not look like football. It looks like high school practice, and it's boring. And that's where championships are made, by the way. That's where the good teams get their stuff down. That's where Stefanski has gotten them to look like a competent football team.
That's
true. So many years they did not look like a competent football team. But overall, I can do that for about 30 minutes. And I'm kind of like, all right, I saw it. That was fun. And then you watch kickers kicking and try to get them out of what they don't call them suicides
anymore. People don't
really
get excited until they go team.
Yeah.
And even when they go team now, it's like, because they're not banging. They're not hitting.
Right.
So the first day of pads, they usually do hit.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And then that's it.
That's kind of an exciting thing. You get the chills. You do. You're like, oh my God, it's August, but we got football.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool. This is actual football. So that's fun for a little bit. I guess if you've made it a tradition every year, like, yeah, me and Bob, we take a half day off work. We go to the same bar, get a couple drinks in, and we go out.
And that's what a lot of people do.
And that's fun. That is fun. But man, if it's hot and humid and they are practicing at the complete opposite side of the facility.
Like, see, I don't think there's a lot of places that have gotten rid of almost all except for like one or two practices. I know they're down from the amount of practices they had 4 years ago from 15. 15 is a lot compared to now with 8. Now, of course, they're spending a week in Philly. I don't think they're going to go away completely. I think that these are still opportunities to entertain clients. That's an open practice. I mean, clients coming is still an open practice. So season ticket holders, clients, things like that. I mean, you have them there. It's just an easy way to show off things in such a non-confrontational setting. So if you have sponsors there, like that's why I don't like that all the other places are doing, because I'm going, you're just making your job harder. But it's the NFL, and I would think that people are spending money hand over fist to get with the NFL. So I say that, but at some point you would think that we would be in a recession where people would not spend as much money with the NFL and the job would actually be harder. Because I look at it and go, you're in your own facility. It's a non-game. So it's not like there's anything like, hey, let's talk about this while the game's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now you and I know that the white-collar fans tend to be a little different than the 537 boys. 537 boys want to see the game, and don't be bothering the guys up in section 537. But the white collar fan, maybe they know that there's some networking going on, because they're at that level. They're probably seasoned networkers. But this is just so easy, because at camp there's no cussing. There's nothing. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of cuss words, but no one's mad. At football games, people get mad. They're not mad at camp. Everybody's excited. Everybody's optimistic for the season. And you get fans there, and you open it up to the general public, and they're happy to see it. And then, I mean, you think about what they're doing. Like, they got all that property there. I do not think that the open practices are going away.
No.
I think that this is a year where they're on the road for a week, and that's it.
Yeah, there's some logistical things this year because of the Hall of Fame game. But that's another thing. But I think in general, you know, fans heard when, you know, it was about 5 years ago, fans heard rumors and they did not like it. And I think the Haslams listened to the fans. The fans heard the expansion down 71. Let's get them practicing in Columbus. Let's grow the footprint of the fan base.
Yeah.
Let's get the Browns to be more of a statewide team rather than have all these battleground counties battling for the Steelers, the Bengals, the Browns. And I think that worried a lot of fans.
Is the podcast on? We are getting tweets that the podcast is not.
I just got a text that we're not hearing it too, so we're trying to figure that out. You guys keep talking.
We're still recording.
Either way, we're recording.
Yeah, either way, it's going to be on. I'm sorry.
I remember that. I remember fans were outraged. They were like, do the Haslams even care about Cleveland? They do. They absolutely do, but they also, they're owners. They it makes sense for them to want to grow the fan base. And would that undercut the Cleveland fan base? In the end, no. Nobody's going to stop rooting for the Browns because they tried to grow the footprint down into Columbus. But they did listen to the fans. Kenny, did they not?
Yeah.
And the fans were outraged, and they said, okay, we're not going to do this. Even if it would make us more money.
You know that Mayor Obet's down there.
That was a big deal. Yeah, it wasn't even going to be like North Columbus, so like fans could have a shorter drive. It was going to be the full boat all the way down into like southern Columbus.
And Columbus is like 50 miles each way anyway.
Yeah, so they did listen to the fans, but I mean, it is a fact. They've gone from 15 open practices, then it was 13, 12, 11, now we're down to 8. So we'll see. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Kenny, because I just had Daryl Ryder's article up. And then I had Mary Kay's as well. Do they have anything at Akron or at the stadium this year? I don't think they do. I don't think they have any feature nights or days, which I always thought was kind of cool.
I don't think so.
Get into the stadium and get to see them do a little bit more.
I don't think so.
I wonder why that is. Is that, again, because of the other stuff?
I wish I knew. I can't tell you.
We've got the Hall of Fame game this year, too. Yeah.
So I guess that's their – they'll call that their feature day. But you won't see Deshaun Watson.
If you look, Daryl tweeted out the schedule and the actual what the team sent out, and it says, like, for the games it has little symbols for everything, and for not the Jets game, the next game says G1, the Jets game says G0, so game preseason game 0 for them.
That's interesting.
So they don't even call it 1-4 anymore. They call it 1-3 with a bonus game, basically. I would say that's probably replaced your orange and brown scrimmage where the family comes and all that.
Does Deshaun Watson play in the preseason?
Yeah, he's going to play. I think part of it is because he played so poorly and because I think they're installing a new offense. I do think he's going to play.
Save that
bit.
One.
I don't know. I don't know for a fact. We haven't heard Stefanski. He'll be asked about it 100 times. The minute, the first chance he gets, he's going to be asked about it, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
tough because had he have played well last year, had he looked like Deshaun Watson, I wonder if it would have been different, if he would have been shut down the entire preseason.
Hmm.
But because the way it ended was so horrific, I wonder if they're like, we can't go out there, especially with this schedule, with these divisional games. We need to get this team ready.
Tell me the tale of the imposter.
Well, there is a gentleman by the name of Barry, let's just say Barry Berkman, but that's
Barry
the Badgenith.
Show. Barry Badgenith. Who's Barry Badgenith? Who's Barry Badgenith?
There is a, and I got to look this guy up now. His name he's a legendary prankster, Kenny, which I'd never heard of because this was in the 70s. Barry Bremen.
Yeah, I heard of him.
Okay, I'd never heard of him. And I guess Dick Schaap had chronicled, he had been so taken by this story of prankster, imposter, somebody who would show up at all the biggest events, golf tournaments, football, the Super Bowl, and would show up and then start to show up in disguise. And all of a sudden, he's dressed up at a basketball game like a referee.
Yeah.
And got chased off by, who was it? Tommy Lasorda got chased off.
Right. I remember that.
Oh, it was hilarious. Like, all these guys kind of had fun with it.
I remember hearing about it, I should
say. And
then
eventually, like, now you know, in 2023, you can't have this. This is a threat. I mean, when Monica Seles is getting stabbed at a French Open, like, you can't allow any breaches of security. You just can't. And so
Nancy Kerrigan, why?
Why? Why? So back then it was hilarious. He was on The Tonight Show. He was on Good Morning America. He had appeared on all these various big-time programs back in the day because people want to know his story. And
that
he was just
such a hillbilly thing to do. Hold on. You guys devise a plan to go hit her in the knee with a crowbar.
Yeah.
I mean, can we just recognize that for a second? I'm sorry. I don't mean to take it away. And you just see, I know the one guy's passed away now, but my God, Jeff Galooly and the one guy where it's just like, we're going to hit her in the knee with a crowbar.
That a literal
and that's going to end
goon.
It for you. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry,
they
go ahead.
They drove cross country for it, too.
Yes. Drove across the country to find her and hit her in the knee with a crowbar. Go ahead.
Oh, by the way, Bremen also showed up at the Emmy Awards. And when this actress from Hill Street Blues won Best Supporting Actress, he jumped on stage and said, well, we have to apologize. She is not here to accept this award. I'm here on her behalf. And then she was still getting up as they were going to commercial break. So, I mean, these are funny bits. These are funny stunts. They're just not something you could do today.
Yeah.
So he reached all sorts of fame and notoriety for this. And I'm like, all right, that's 30 for 30, but why is this 2 hours? Like, we're 35 minutes into this documentary, Why is this so long? What am I missing? What does this guy do? And then it turns out that a bunch of people in the Detroit area were, because he was from Detroit, and he had a family. He had three kids.
Okay.
One of them had, it wasn't muscular dystrophy, it was cerebral palsy. And this will come into play on why that's important. And they kept interviewing these people, these kids. His kids had the graphics underneath their names because they're like, yeah, that was Dad. Dad was a character. We thought it was cool, even though he wasn't home all the time. We thought it was cool. He was getting fame. Kids in school were like, oh my God, your dad has met all these celebrities. He's been on The Tonight Show. But underneath their names, it said number 27, number 15. And I was like, what is going on? And then you have that oh my God moment when a bunch of people started doing 23andMe and tracing back to Barry Bremen, the great imposter. And you realize it's not because of infidelity. It has nothing to do with that. He was a sperm donor. And because in the 70s, the late 70s, it was the wild, wild west, where these doctors at the sperm clinics, they said, well, at most, it can be five. You can have produce five offspring. No, they just kept using it. They just kept using it. And turns out, all these years later, and everybody put it together and reached out to the Facebook groups, he has like 50 kids. And a lot of them live in the Detroit area. And some of them went to school together. Some of them went to Ferris State together and graduated the same year. And they were all looked like him.
I've been to Top Taggart Field.
Yeah. You know, they had a good program. A good hockey program.
And, yeah.
So you can imagine all the ethical concerns about this. And having these people have no idea what their identity was. They're all adopted. Or they had their biological mother.
Yeah.
But not their dad. And eventually, because technology got to a point where you could actually find out who the hell you were from. It wasn't all about secrets. They realized they all were an extended family. And so as the piece goes on, it was this complex thing. First of all, the three biological kids, they're getting letters from strangers saying, we're your brother, we're your sister. And they're like, what do these people want? Why are they coming after us? Thinking they had ill intentions. And now, all these years later, they go to family reunions. They all keep in touch.
Holy
they think
geez.
There's more out there. They think there might be more than 50. They think there could be like 60 to 70.
Whoa.
I never saw this documentary, but I watched the Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah, and my wife saw the Vince Vaughn movie because I told her about it. And she's like, that sounds like the Vince Vaughn movie.
What Vince
Vaughn?
I
forget what it's called. It's called Vince Vaughn Has a Bunch of Kids.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
And I can't remember. It was one day. I still subscribe to traditional HBO.
Yeah.
So when I get home and there's nothing in my DVR to catch up on, I will just flip over there and watch whatever movie they have on for me. And I watched it one day, and it's kind of the same deal. He's going to, I think he's going to get married or something, is the premise. And then he finds out, one person comes to him and goes, oh, maybe somebody from the bank brings him all these records. And he starts like spying on these kids and like checking in on them. And one girl is very depressed and is going to like kill herself. And he like talks her out of it. And it's his daughter, you know, but she just thinks he's some stranger that showed up. And then turns out there's like 1,000 of them, and all these people know that they're related, but they don't know who his name is because he used, you know, whatever, Larry 6969 or whatever.
Yeah, it is. Dennis 6969.
Well, so the question is, Kenny, what do you do with that information if somebody reaches out to you and it's just the start of a huge web?
Is Barry still with us?
Relatives? No, he had passed away before this had been discovered.
Ooh.
So he never knew how many there were. Obviously, he knew there were some, but he had never connected with any of them. They hadn't connected with him. What would you do with the information that there are 50 other people that share your DNA, 50% of your DNA? What do you do? Do you feel a responsibility to keep in touch with these people? You know, I know there are stepbrothers and stepsisters and So they have complicated relationships.
I have two older half-sisters. They're twins, who my dad has not seen since 79, right?
Holy
and
cow.
It was, it's a whole complicated thing, but anyway, his ex-wife...
How old are they?
They are, I think they're 10 years older than me. So they're, you know, early 50s. So he, like, he ended up getting a divorce. Their mom, it was a whole cheating thing with his best friend. They left, right? The guy, and I think they knew that the guy they called dad was not their dad, but... family through like family medical history stuff started coming up. So like 10 years ago, no, 15 years ago, they reached out and like got with my dad and they found me on Facebook. And
oh
they're like,
my
hey,
God.
How do we like, they actually got to my mom first, who they've never met. Right. And my mom, well, I remember we had a picture of him up for a while in the first house I lived in growing up. And then it kind of, as we moved, it kind of went away. Right. But my dad still sent money and all that, too. And it went through, like, my aunt made sure that it got to... because they're from the same... my dad and this woman were from the same little town in Missouri. So, like, there were connections there. But they lived in... that guy was in the Air Force. And they moved all over the world. And my dad lived in little mounds, right? And that's where we were. But we had to go through this thing where... now I have siblings that I didn't grow up with.
That, wow. I mean, that is just staggering... because your whole life, as you know it, would have been different.
Right.
Would have been tremendously different if you had these people that, you know, if they're within a few miles, they're going to be either best friends for life or, right, you know, sometimes a burden or whatever, but they're going to be in your life in some capacity.
Well, I know, and I remember, so my parents actually went to, I think they're in North Carolina. My parents went there, and one's in North Carolina, one's in Georgia, but they're very, you know, they're twins. They're very close. They actually married brothers, and, like, they both have a bunch of kids, and my parents went there one time, and it was a very great experience, apparently, and then one time when my parents were still in Tulsa, one of them came, and they were there for a conference or something, and then, like, it started, like, hey, what's going on? Hey, can I borrow a couple dollars? Hey, all that, and then it was like, yeah, floodgates are closed. I think we're still Facebook friends, though.
That is the end of that in a hurry.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but I don't consider them my siblings because I never knew them.
But that, you know, that that's something so interesting about...
well, for later cards, that's funny. Incredible. Now I have to. Now I feel like I owe it to him to tell that other story.
It's just, real quick, that's incredible. They have, like, one of them has a son that's 30 now, so 10 years younger than me. And we look a lot alike. And when I see him, like, he's nobody to me. We're not Facebook friends, but she will put a picture of him up. And, like, you know, she's showing off her family or whatever. And I'll see him and be like, that guy looks familiar. Oh, that's, we've got shared DNA.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I don't know how that would hit psychologically for me. I've always wondered, like, I've had some people in my family that, you know, kind of right, been around and been all sorts of different places, and it would not have shocked me if by now I would have gotten a letter, registered letter in the mail that was like, hey, I'm your half-brother.
Does anybody...
but it didn't happen.
Right. When someone opens up like that to you, I mean, that is outrageous. Not bad. Like, I'm just like, wow. Right. When anybody opens up to you like that, do you feel an obligation to tell them something about you in the same realm?
Oh, yeah.
Because now I feel obliged to tell Owen...
no, I know
Owen,
what you mean.
Like, because, like, on my mom's side of the family, there are people going, because my mom has three sisters and a brother. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. And they swear there's another or two more. They all swear. Someone came to the house years ago, and they got rushed out of the house. The whole thing. I mean, this was in the 70s, too.
Right.
And I told you my mother's father was not a good guy. And it's always been like a thing, and like a big, like, oh, there's others out there. And now it's like, oh, just because Owen told me that story, I'm just like, my story's nowhere near as good as you, but because you laid all those cards out on the table, I'm like, I owe you something. Here you go.
I mean, I have a cousin.
Wow.
I have a cousin who I don't think his oldest daughter knows he's not the biological father, and she's 25. And I remember coming home. It was a weird moment in time in high school where My cousin lived with my aunt, like right next door to the high school, like the first house by the high school. And I was going through, I had weight room at 5:30 in the morning. So weight room, and then I had a practice and all that. So you got to be at school crazy early. So I would go and sleep there at night just for this like 3 month period. So I had a key to the house. I came home one day and there's a woman sitting there with a baby. That is not my cousin who was married at the time's wife.
Oh my God.
And then like a year later, he's now married to her and they've got a kid. And
oh my God.
Like, okay. What happened? That's why Owen, when he was 17 and a half, said, "We got to get out of this town.
You got to get out of Mounds.
There were other,
I'll eat you alive, boy. Damn.
Other alternatives that seemed a little bit better.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, some crazy stuff.
Limey, you got to share anything there? Or are you just going to let us tell our tales?
I'm still waiting for my registered letter. I've been waiting for that registered letter for a while now. You knew about some of the habits of relatives.
Just from the little tidbits that you've let me in on your childhood and some of your family, it wouldn't be surprising that I could weave a story together of, you know, maybe there is another. There's an Adam Lima out there.
It wouldn't be that surprising. But then
I can't get past what you said, which is, man, that kid looked like me.
Yeah.
I can't believe in this story, this 30 for 30, all these dudes were pretty successful. They all looked the same. And that I can't escape from. I mean, it shouldn't matter what they look like. But if you saw somebody who had your profile, your hair, your nose, and they're half brothers.
If they're going to the same school and maybe they've, you know, just passed by and go, that guy looks kind of like me, like. Or maybe they've got a mutual friend or acquaintance that goes, man, you look like Ted.
And unfortunately, also, and I...
Ted 69.
I bring Ted 69. Ted 69. The issue of the contamination of the local gene pool is something where it is totally unethical that two siblings could get together and marry each other and have kids. Yeah, like, this is terrible. So irresponsible.
Well, I saw that.
And one more thing.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The fact that third son has... cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
What do you owe? What do these doctors owe in terms of information to the parents?
Is there a class action lawsuit on this?
Oh,
stuff?
Yeah. It's they have huge regulations on this now.
I saw
a
documentary on Netflix about a doctor who was doing that. And like there was a bunch of children and they were trying to go after the doctor, but there were no like laws on the book about that sort of thing. Did you ever think of that thing back in, don't tell anybody what I sent you.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm sure AA will too. Did you ever think of doing that in college?
No. You know what? That was.
Did you ever donate plasma or anything?
No. We saw the signs for those. I never really paid attention to the sperm donors.
I did the plasma.
How much did you get paid?
I can get $40 in beer money. Yeah, but the first time you go, I only went once.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're in and out in 20 minutes. It took like 3 hours.
Why?
And I get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm going to get this. Because you get to a point of no return.
Yeah, you're there.
So I'm like, I'm going to walk out of here with cash. I was like 20.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I'm doing it.
What were they paying for sperm?
No, plasma.
I know, but what are they paying for sperm?
I don't know.
Is there more money?
I didn't know if there. I've never seen one.
You know, part of it is there are people that can't have kids. This is a very important thing. I'm not this podcast to talk about, which is, unfortunately, there are many people that have not been blessed with the ability to have children.
Right.
And it's agonizing for them. It tears apart relationships. And it's very sad. We've all
people
had friends.
People start blaming each other. Yeah,
of course.
Bad.
We all have friends who have been through it. I've had a few different friends of Sarah's that adopted and then got pregnant on their own.
No.
So what a crazy blessing that is. Like, that's amazing. In fact, that's probably the way to do it. Like, that's the way you'd want it to happen if you'd want the story. The story would be great.
Yeah.
And emotional and all that. So donating sperm and by any means necessary in helping other families or anybody, you know, get what they want and get what they feel like has been denied to them, that's huge. You have this clinic where you have one guy responsible. I don't think that Barry guy would want 50 kids running around with his DNA. I don't think that was his intention.
Is it bad? I'm being honest. I'm not trying to be lurid or anything here. Like, say you're about to go get the procedure done.
Yeah.
To, and a vasectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it bad to offer it to others? I'm being honest. Is it bad to offer
vasectomies?
No.
I don't know how to do that, Kenny.
What you
I'll
have
try
to
if you
others.
Really want me to.
To offer what you have for others.
I've never thought about this.
There's a story that we know of someone that I would love
in the room with you?
Yeah. Well, that used to be over there that you had talked about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And the reason that they talked about it is because they knew it was they knew it worked. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, boy, I don't know if that's going to go
How
over well.
Weird would that
but they
be,
were perfectly
though?
Fine talking about it. I was fine with it because I have a very close relationship with them. So I thought it would be perfect. And I still to this day have a very close relationship. Well, they didn't stay together, actually. But I have a very close relationship with one of them and
yeah,
their new
right.
significant other.
Prior.
Yeah. And if they, I would obviously it would just, to me, it would be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it. Boy, I'm probably giving a little bit too much here, but you know what the hell?
Well, we're not streaming right now anyway.
Yeah, we're leaving it all. We're playing. We're putting all our cards
this
out there.
This is the one. This and, is the secret show.
And because it was like, well, like we know everything is always working in working order. Like that was a blessing. I have no problem with that. Now I know that's it takes two to tango in that case. So just because you know that has been always strong doesn't mean the other side would be strong. I understand that. But it was, yeah, that was a conversation. That was a hell of a conversation that we had with the people that we are not going to mention.
Isn't there something to that when you had that conversation, though, that you're like, I can't believe that I am on the level with another human being that I'm not involved with physically, that
there
we
was,
could just be this open and talk
there
about.
Was, there was, but it was also... It was also if they ever decided it, because I mean there's definitely it was because it was a peace of mind of knowing exactly where it comes from, if that makes any sense to them. This is some deep stuff we're getting into here, guys. Like there was like you can go to a clinic and they could sit there and say, yeah, we got this, and this. But they were afraid, like, we're never going to know, truly. And it, for them, they're like, we know exactly who it is. And then
In the end, you're trusting strangers to do the right thing and to do what they said they were going to do.
Right. Yeah.
It's an element of trust.
And for us...
But then some will say, does it matter? Does it even matter if your DNA is out there, a bunch of people, and you never meet them? Does it even matter? How does your life change?
I don't know. It would probably be like I have a fourth child.
Yeah.
If they would have decided, because at the time we didn't have our third,
mm-hmm.
and we were like fine. And then I told you I went to that wedding and I went, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a daughter? And then we had another boy, which is great, whatever.
I show you pictures of Izzy every day.
That's not the same.
That look of determination when she climbed the ottoman.
And then she cries, and then your wife gets mad at you because you cry in her face, which I do all the time.
Is that
a
bad thing to do, Owen?
Oh, I love it.
No, she's got to learn sometime.
To match their cries with your cries?
Yeah.
Hey, but just think about that Easter egg hunt next year.
I got excited about that.
That lawn
is all set up for a very robust Easter egg hunt, one for the ages, and it is on coming up Easter Sunday.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!